The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
This is Cale Clark from The Cale Clark Show and the Faith Explained program on Relevant Radio, sitting in for Drew. He's still in the Holy Land. He'll be back next week talking to my guest. At this moment, we've got a lot of, we've got some other incredible guests lined up. I can't wait to share these guys with you just in a few minutes. But have a few more minutes with Father Patrick Mary Briscoe. He's written really insightful, brief but powerful piece on osvnews.com. He is the editor of our Sunday Visitor, and it's all about Vatican II, the 60th anniversary of the inauguration of the Council, which happened just this week. We celebrated the anniversary on the 11th of October. And Father, we've got Rachel on the line from Salt Lake City, Utah, with a question for you. Hi, Rachel. You're on the line with Father Patrick Mary Briscoe.
Hi, Father. Hopefully you don't kill me, but I turned on my radio and you were on, and this is something you would totally do to me. So I had to. Also, I sent you a video. But anyway, my question for you and for listeners is, I think that when you read the documents of Vatican II, I think many people just jump to the differences. But I think the main focus really was the heart of discipleship and that call of discipleship. Especially for the collaboration with the laity and for the laity. And I know you briefly spoke on that, but I wonder if you would say that that's true and if you would expand on that.
Oh, good question.
Rachel, first, great to hear your voice all the way out there from your beloved Utah. second, I would say, you know, to get to your question, which I think is dead on, I think that's right. And I think that the biggest misinterpretations of Vatican II don't have to do with the points of the liturgy, even though I think there are some there. I think the biggest misinterpretations have to do with the understanding the role of the laity, and in particular, understanding the responsibility of the lay baptized person to carry on the faith and to evangelize. So, I think that's our biggest problem spot, and I think that's the point that we have to reflect on to say, okay, what is it that I have to do because of my personal relationship with Jesus Christ in service to his church? That's the kind of self-examination that needs to come out of this that honestly we failed to do. And it's become more problematized because of the waning of priestly and other religious vocations. So 10 out of 10 agree.
Love it. Now, Father Patrick, you belong obviously to the order of preachers, the Dominicans, proclaiming the word of God. Preaching is really part of the deal for you. It's part of your vocation. And you have been selected. It's really a great honor. You've been selected as one of the preachers by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops for this year of Eucharistic revival. How did that come about, and what will your role be?
So the simple answer is the Holy Spirit. And here we've been afforded a nice segue, actually, from Rachel's question, which is about the role of the laity.
Yeah.
The Eucharistic revival is about helping everyday Catholics understand that their Lord and Savior is there, present for them in the Eucharist, and how to talk about that saving mystery and share it with the world. So the revival is not so much a formalized program for church renewal as it is a call for each and every son and daughter of the Father to have their heart set on fire again with love for the Eucharistic Lord. So that's the plan.
Love it. That's
now,
a great plan.
To do that, there's all kinds of myriad works. And I'm a writer, so the first thing I did was I wrote a little devotional book about it.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about this.
So with our Sunday Visitor, I'm the editor of our Sunday Visitor. With our Sunday Visitor, we put together a little 40-day companion. And you'll love this nice little brand tie in here called My Daily Visitor. And the idea is that one could spend 40 days or 40 hours in reflection with the Blessed Sacrament. So the devotional is just little meditations on different aspects of the Eucharistic mystery. And I'm talking about, you know, really bite-sized stuff, 200, 300 words, just a couple of minutes of thought, a quote from a church father or a saint, and a little inspiring prayer to bring home the meditation to help people have the tools to really, really build that personal prayer, that personal union, that personal connection with Jesus.
Oh, I really love that. My daily visitor Eucharist devotional book. That's incredible. Hey, and since you are the editor as well as the author, what do you do? Just argue with yourself about this, you know, how the text should turn out?
That's right. Well, don't worry. You know, there's a full team that is not shy about telling me when I've overplayed my hand yet.
Well, I should also point out to our fine listeners here that you've got another book. We talked about this on the Cale Clark Show when you were a guest on my show. St. Dominic's Way of Life, A Path to Knowing and Loving God. Don't miss that book either. It's also from Father Patrick Mary Briscoe. Where can people find you? If they want to get in touch with you through social media or your podcast, where can they find you on the net, Father?
Please follow me. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Patrick Mary OP. That's at Patrick Mary OP on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Otherwise, please check out my author profile. I mean, at Our Sunday Visitor at OSV News, and then those two resources that we mentioned: the My Daily Visitor prayer book about the Eucharist and St. Dominic's Way of Life. Both of those are available in the Our Sunday Visitor bookstore.
Oh, it's easy. And by the way, your last name is spelled B-R-I-S-C-O-E for anybody out there who is wanting to look him up. And Father Patrick Mary, thank you so much for taking the time today on the Drew Mariani Show. I'm so glad to be able to talk to you again. We'll have you on my show as well coming up. And it was always a great time to talk to you. And God bless you and your work with OSV.
Thanks so much, Cale.
Okay, God bless you, Father. All right. Well, my next guest, I think you're really going to like this as well. We're moving into the weekend. Some of you out there are hackers, and by that I mean you're probably hackers at a lot of things, but I'm definitely a hacker on the golf course, and I've always been of the mind that golf is a really spiritual game. And I've got a great guest who's going to join me in just a second. He's the founder and president of Marketplace Leaders Ministries. It's an organization whose purpose is to train men and women to fulfill their calling in and through their work life and to view their work as a ministry. That's intriguing. He formerly owned and operated an ad agency in Atlanta for 12 years. He's written over 24 books on faith and work-related topics, has a daily workplace email devotional called TGIF, Today, God is First. It's read by hundreds of thousands of people daily in 105 countries. He's been on TBN, CNBC, NBC, the Los Angeles Times has featured him, the New York Times, the Associated Press, and many other media outlets as a spokesperson on faith and work issues. He's also spoken live in 26 countries. He's married to Pamela. They live in North Atlanta. They have one daughter named Karis and a son-in-law, Justin. I want to welcome Oz Hillman to the show. Oz, thank you for taking the time. How are you?
I am great. Thanks for having me today.
Oh, it is great to hear your voice. And you're the author of a brand new book called Birdies, Bogeys, and Life Lessons from the Game of Golf. And this is a personal book for you. In some ways, this book was kind of born from a crisis that you had relating to the game of golf. Can you explain that?
Well, sure. Yeah. My dad started me playing golf when I was 11 years old. And, you know, I picked up very quickly. It had 3 hole-in-ones before I was 14
wow.
years old. I'd 70 several times. And I played in the U.S. Junior Amateur in Boston when I was 15. And so I had, you know, really hopes of great things. My dad died when I was 14 years old in an airplane crash. And later, when I was 20, I went to school on a golf scholarship and had every intention to play professional golf. And but when I got out of college, I sort of plateaued out and I never quite made it on the tour. But God used that as a tool to really draw me to himself. And I came to Christ a year out of college, never looked back.
Well, that's amazing. And being such an incredibly successful junior golfer, I mean, man, if you're breaking 70s on the regular as a young man and getting multiple holes in one, I'm still waiting for my first, Oz, I'll tell you that. But it really probably was a situation where you had this goal at a human level, you didn't attain it, and that kind of left you feeling empty, and it was really a void that only God could fill. Kind of a St. Augustine-type moment where he says, our hearts are made for you, they're restless until they rest in you, as he says.
Well, that's right. And God, golf had actually become a God in my life. It was so close to my life, my whole identity wrapped up in golf. And so when that finally came to a place where I knew I couldn't play for a living and be successful with it, it was a crisis moment. And But I had some very unique people around me at that time that kind of led me through the journey of seeking, and I'm so glad the Lord allowed that in my life. And there would be other challenges in the future, but that was the one that kind of started it all.
Now, Oz, you say that, and as a golfer, I wholeheartedly agree with this. You say that there are a lot of spiritual truths that can be taken from the game of golf. And I've been threatening for years to write a book called In His Grip. I'm sure that title's been taken by somebody else, but a little humor there. But can you share some of these spiritual truths that can be taken out of this great game?
Well, one of the ones I talk about is one about, you know, just you can do all the right things and it may not turn out good, you know, and such a spiritual parallel between that and golf. And I talk about how Tiger Woods hit it down the fairway, but it caught a tree and stayed in the tree. Now, that shouldn't have happened, but it did. You know, we can do all the right things in life sometimes, and it may not turn out right. Mm. And the scriptures, you know, all things work together for good for those called according to your purpose and love you. And so, you know, that happens. I talk about how, not Tom Watson, but the other Watson.
Bubba?
Bubba was leading a golf tournament by like 5 shots, and he completely blew it on the back nine. And, you know, he was such a great sport about it and says, hey, it happens, you know, and I have no control over when something like that happens. God will give me another opportunity, but I can't beat myself up over it. It's just a game we're playing. So, you know, I try to bring some, you know, relevance to what the scriptures say about some of these experiences. So if you're a golfer, you're going to love this book because there's great stories of professional golfers who, you know, played years ago and even modern day golfers and, you know, some practical things that have happened. I share a story about when I got on the first tee when I was in college and Sam Snead walked up to the tee and he, literally within 2 feet of me before I teed off, he was intimidating me. And I thought, golly, why would a guy like that intimidate a college kid? But he was known for stuff like that. So a lot of little anecdotal stories like that in the book.
Yeah, well, let me ask you to share one of your favorite messages from the book. There are 52 devotions in the book, one for every week of the year. It's called Birdies, Bogeys, and Life Lessons from the Game of Golf by my guest, Oz Hillman. You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. I'm Cale Clark sitting in for Drew today. What's one of your favorite chapters? Can you share the lesson of that particular devotion with our listeners right now?
Sure. One of the week 13 is called Arnold Palmer, and the year was 1969, and I was a senior in high school. And back then, you could qualify for the tour on Mondays. And in 1969, the tour had the first Harbortown Golf Links tournament in 1969 in Hilton Head Island. And a buddy of mine, we were both on our high school golf team, and we said, well, let's go and try and qualify. And so we went over on Monday and you know, teed it up with all the touring pros trying to qualify. And, well, my friend, I shot 77 and didn't make it, but my friend shot 71, and he got in the tournament as a 17-year-old. He's still the youngest player ever to play at Harbortown in Hilton Head. And, but we went out to the practice round, actually late that afternoon. And, we were on, number 8 green, and the sun was going down and we were looking down the fairway. And, you know, we said, hey, somebody's coming up, and let's wait and see who it is. And so we waited. And, so anyway, the closer he got, the more our eyes got bigger and bigger, and it was Arnold Palmer by himself, caddy, and he came up, and we watched him on the green there, and he introduced himself, and he said, you want to play the number 9 in with me? Did, and So that was a great thing. And so, you know, if you're a follower of Christ, you too are an ambassador, and you are to represent the kingdom of heaven, like, you know, Arnold represented golf so well as an ambassador. And I just tie the fact that when Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, he exhorted the followers to pray that heaven would be brought to earth, and that, you know, someone I know once counted 7,500 promises in the Bible, and those promises are heaven's currency. You and I are called to manifest those promises on earth as Christ's ambassador. And so, you know, I always appreciated how Arnold Palmer handled himself, and you and I are really called the ambassadors for Christ on the golf course and anywhere we are.
That's such a great analogy. My guest is Oz Hillman, the author of a brand new book about golf and spirituality. It's right up my alley. It's called Birdies, Bogeys, and Life Lessons from the Game of Golf. And speaking of Arnold Palmer, and I know that you know this, Oz, his famous agent, Mark McCormick, his business partner, he once said that you learn an awful lot about a person's character if you play golf with them. How does golf both build and reveal person's characters?
Yeah, I actually write a devotional about Mark McCormick in the book. Do recall that statement I said many years ago. But, you know, you can really see how people handle themselves on a golf course. Do they get really angry? Do they cheat? You know, I've been around people that cheat, you know. Do they take those short putts when they really should be putting them out? You know, so there are those little things that often are telltale signs about the character of someone. Can they rejoice when another person hits a great shot than when they're against them? You know, that's, and of course, Jack Nicklaus was probably the greatest loser in the sense of
that's true.
His character. He embraced even those that beat him, and he rejoiced with them. He didn't like losing, but he also saw that there was something about being a person of character, and he really did that well.
Yeah, that's a great point about Jack Nicklaus. One of the most amazing stats about him is that not only does he still hold the record for most major championships won with 18, and you know, Tiger's kind of stalled out in his quest because of injuries and all kinds of other things have happened to him over the years of maybe catching Jack. But what's incredible about Nicklaus is that he finished second in 19 other major championships. It's unbelievable. So, and he was always such a so gracious to the winner. Whenever he came up short, that's something that I always remember about him when I was a kid. And that's indeed another one of those great life lessons that one can glean from the game of golf. And Oz, I have to ask you also, my guest is Oz Hillman. You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show. 888-914-9149 is the number to call if you have a question for Oz. I want to talk to you a little bit about other work that you've done through Marketplace Leaders Ministries. I find this so fascinating, training men and women to fulfill their calling in and through their work life and viewing their work as ministry. How can someone make that mental shift to view their work, their daily job, whatever it might be, as a ministry?
Well, the key verse around that is Colossians 3:17-23. It says, whatever you do, do unto the Lord as the Lord Christ you are serving, and therein is your inheritance. So you know, whether we're making widgets or promoting a product or selling cars, you know, Christ calls us to see that as a ministry, because we're serving others in that process. And so whatever we do, we need to see the spiritual element of that. And it's a, you know, there was a guy in the Old Testament called Bezalel, and he created the Ark of the Covenant. And he was the first person in the Bible described as being filled with the Spirit of God. He was a craftsman. And God handpicked him. He told Moses, he said, look, I want Bezalel to design the Ark of the Covenant, and I'm going to give you details on how to do it. And so God gives us details about our work and how to fulfill our purpose through our work if we are willing to seek him and ask him.
I love that. And so one of the things that I think, Oz, too, that people have a gross misunderstanding about in the culture, and this speaks to something that we talked about in the first hour of the program. Dr. Craig Evans, biblical scholar, was a guest in the first hour of the Drew Mariani Show today, and we talked about the widespread biblical illiteracy that's so prevalent in the culture, and people don't understand how they can encounter God. And in the very first book of the Bible, people kind of misread the first chapters of Genesis, and they often think that work is some sort of a punishment for sin, but work was in the world before sin was in the world. Adam and Eve kind of had a job to do, and so this is something that's very holy. And in your work, have you seen people kind of glom onto this idea and really kind of change their life and the way that they look at everyday tasks?
Oh, yeah. You know, I believe that we had a real spiritual awakening to this idea in the mid-90s. I had gone through a crisis in 1994, and within a few years, as I began to get a hold of this idea that our work is spiritual, and I began actually sharing that with others, little did I know that there was an awareness that was growing in the body of Christ around this topic, and I had started doing workshops and writing about this topic, and then I started getting invited on major news shows and the New York Times and L.A. Times and CNBC had me on talking about faith in the workplace, and part of that was when President Bush, you know, his faith was very important to him, and the media made a big deal of that at that time, and it sort of piggybacked into the whole faith at work movement, and you saw articles and cover stories on that. The New York Times did a major insert in their paper on faith and work, and they interviewed me 3 years for that, and so, that topic has definitely grown over the last 10 to 15 years, and continues to have many, many conferences and hundreds of books written on that topic. When I first started doing that in the 90s, you were lucky to find 10 or 15 books, but there are literally thousands of books on the topic of faith, work, and calling.
Yeah, yeah. And it's something that people really do need to discover, or maybe for the first time, or rediscover if they've somehow forgotten this, because it's so elemental. And the CEO of Relevant Radio, Father Rocky Hoffman, he's a priest of Opus Dei, which means the work of God, and the founder of Opus Dei, St. Jose Maria Escrivá. He talked a lot about how we can not only sanctify our work, but sanctify ourselves in our work and sanctify others through it as well. It's such a beautiful, beautiful thing. And Oz, I want to ask, can you please tell people how they can get a hold of you, a website, social media, and how they can order your new book on golf and spirituality, Birdies, Bogeys, and Life Lessons from the Game of Golf?
Sure. Yeah, we have an online bookstore called TGIFBookstore.com, TGIFBookstore.com, and they can find the book there. And we do a daily email devotional that people can access free of charge, and that's at TodayGodIsFirst.com, TodayGodIsFirst.com. That's read in about 105 countries today. I started writing that in the late 90s. And it caught on, and it really helps people, focus their attention on their work and calling and the spiritual relevance of it.
I really appreciate your time. Oz Hillman, thank you so much for writing this book. I can't wait to read it. I hope it'll help my golf game, or at least the way I spiritually approach my golf game, because both probably need work. So Oz Hillman in Atlanta, thank you so much for your time, and God bless you, and have a great weekend. Go low if you're playing.
God bless. Take care.
Okay. Thank Bye-bye. You so much. That was Oz Hillman. A lot of Oz's out there in the culture. I think you know who I'm talking about. You probably haven't heard of Oz Hillman, but wow, what a great interview. That was so, so intriguing. And yeah, Patrick Alog, who's screening calls today on the Drew Mariani Show. And you can call in right now, 888-914-9149. He did confirm that someone else has grabbed the name InHisGripGolf.com, which apparently encourages and equips men to place God first in life, family, and business. Apparently golf as well. So I don't know. I haven't copyrighted the name. I might have to sue them. I don't know. We'll see. But hey, listen, we got to take a quick break here on the Drew Mariani Show, but you are not going to want to leave your seat. You're going to want to stay locked in if you're listening in your car on the radio. Doug Hinderer is going to be joining me after the break to talk about how to handle this is so great. I can't wait for you to meet Doug to talk about conflict in marriage. Does this happen? I've never heard of this before. Conflict in marriage, conflict in the workplace, conflict in relationships. How do we handle this? It's a really important topic. We'll be right back. This is Cale Clark sitting in for Drew Mariani, 888-914-9149.
The Drew Mariani Show is live now. The Drew Mariani Show, here for you on Relevant Radio.
Relevant Radio runs on horsepower, your horsepower. Donate any vehicle and keep your station running. Join in with thousands of other listeners who have given their unused vehicles at relevantradio.com/car.
It's a beautiful night.
This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
This is Cale Clark sitting in for Drew, who's in the Holy Land. He'll be back next week. If you've missed any part of this show, we've had a great one. Dr. Craig Evans in the first hour talking about the Bible, how to read it, how to interpret it properly in this age. Father Patrick Mary Briscoe also joined me earlier in the show to talk about Vatican II, how to interpret that rightly. And then also just a few minutes ago, Oz Hillman joined me to talk about golf and spirituality. You might be hitting the links this weekend. Some of you will no doubt be spending time with friends and family because life is really all about relationships, our relationship with God and our relationships with one another. And you're going to want to call in to talk to my next guest because he has some really, really deep thoughts on this. 888-914-9149 is the studio line to call in right now. 888-914-9149. My next guest is a licensed associate marriage and family therapist. He has a passion for working with couples, especially to help them live the married life that God has intended for them from the beginning. He's been married to his wife Shirley for 42 years, and they have 9 children and 6 grandchildren. He's the founder of Happy Marriage for Life, which you can find on the net at happymarriageforlife.com. Just a few weeks ago, I had the pleasure of hearing him give a presentation to all the staff of Relevant Radio. Father Rocky brought him in, and he gave an amazing presentation on managing conflict in relationships. And I thought it was so good. I got so much out of this, and so did everybody else here at Relevant Radio, that I had to bring him in, had to bring him on the show to talk about this, because you need to hear this as well. Doug Hinderer is my guest. Doug, thank you for taking the time. How are you?
Kel, thanks so much for having me. That introduction, I think I'm flush, a little blushing here because it was so kind of you to say those things. But yeah, I really enjoyed coming up there and meeting all the staff and Father Rocky. He's doing such a great job with the radio, and you all are doing such a great job, the apostle across the nation, that it was a real honor for me to be there. Yeah.
Well, it was an honor for us to hear that presentation, and people are still buzzing about that day. We had so many great speakers, but your talk in particular really got people thinking, and it was really at its heart about managing conflict. And let me ask you this, Doug. First of all, can conflict ever really be eliminated in our relationship lives?
Yeah. No, it can't. It's just impossible. It's just part of the human condition. It goes back to, you know, original sin. And so, you know, we come into this world with original sin, and so we have to battle against that. And along the way, we pick up a few bad habits. You know, we get a temper, we get selfish, and, you know, we get self-centered and impatient and all that kind of stuff. Plus, you know, we have our own individual temperaments and our own personalities and our own interests and likes and dislikes. And those things are all going to come together to cause conflict in every single marriage on the planet.
Yeah, that's very true. And one of the things that you said, which really struck a lot of people, was that it's not so much conflict that destroys relationships, because conflict really can't be avoided. But it's not conflict that destroys relationships. It's conflict avoidance. I guess it can be avoided because some people try to avoid it. And is that wise? Is that wise?
Yeah, but it doesn't work. You can't avoid it. You know, we tend to try to ignore it or push it aside. You know, a couple that I worked with a number of years ago, and they lived in the suburbs of Chicago. They both worked downtown. They rode the same train together. And one morning he came into the kitchen to put his shoes on, and her backpack was on the chair, and he took it off the chair, put it on the floor. He sat down, he put his shoes on, and she walked in and saw her backpack on the floor, and she lost it. She got so angry that she wouldn't even ride the same train. I'm not saying wouldn't sit next to him, took a later train. That's how angry
wow.
she was. Well, yeah, so, you know, we've got to say to my business that the problem ain't the problem, right? So what's going on? You can't get that angry over a backpack, right? And so that night they ended up in my office, and she said, you know, he redoes everything I do. I can't do anything to please this guy. And she said, you know, he rearranged the silverware drawer because he didn't like where I put the knives and forks. Now I can't even put my backpack in the right place. Well, what happened is all these little conflicts, she ignored them. She didn't address them. She didn't bring them up and talk about why she was upset until it just got to the boiling point. And boom, then it all comes out, right? It's this kind of Mount Vesuvius thing. And so it doesn't work to ignore the conflicts. You've got to address them when they come up, especially when they're small, because then they're easy to fix.
You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. I'm your guest host, Cale Clark. You can call in right now if you have a question for marriage and family therapist Doug Hinderer. If you have a question about, and you could say it's about somebody else's marriage. You can say, I know this person who's struggling with this. You don't have to say right. It's your own marriage. It's okay. And it's like the confessional. Anonymity is guaranteed. 888, well, I guess you have to give us a fake name when you call in, but 888-914-9149 is the number to call if you have a question for Doug. And yeah, that's so true. Some things can be pushed under the surface and people process these things differently. And some people will talk about what's bothering them right away. Other people will kind of bury it and then it just piles up.
Yeah.
And that's never a good thing. But one of the things that you told us that day here at Relevant Radio and speaking to us on our day of formation is that conflict can actually be a really, really good thing in marriage. And why is that?
Yeah, because, you know, conflict shows, you know, when you get upset with me, that shows me what's important to you. So conflict can give me a real window into what you value and what you don't, right? And so, you know, if you get upset about spilled milk, well, then I know that, you know, you want things to be neat and orderly. And if you don't get upset about it, then I'm like, okay, well, that's good because that's not an important thing to you. And so, you know, a lot of therapists don't like working with couples because there's a lot of anger that shows up a lot of times in the therapy room. But I like it because it really shows me what you value and what's important. And I need to know that, and your spouse needs to know that, so we can adjust our behavior around those things and take that into consideration.
Yeah, I think that's really important. One of the things you just said, that you actually like it when people get angry and show their emotions as you're counseling them. Can you talk a little bit about the link between our emotions, which are really a good thing that God gives us, and our behaviors?
Yeah, for sure. So emotions drive behaviors. They move a behavior. So anytime your spouse does anything, it's going to trigger an emotion in you. And a lot of times the emotion is so minimal, we're not consciously aware of it. But everything you do triggers an emotion in your spouse. Now, sometimes we trigger positive emotions because we treat our spouses kindly and politely, and we do little acts of kindness, and that makes them feel good. But sometimes, oftentimes without us intending it, we do little things that irritate our spouse. And if we hold on to those things and don't talk about them, well, then they build and build and build till we have a big explosion, right? And so it's important to know that no matter what I do, I'm going to be triggering an emotion in my spouse. And I want to try to do things that trigger positive emotions, not negative ones.
I like that. You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. I'm your guest host, Cale Clark, talking to Doug Hinderer, marriage and family therapist. HappyMarriageForLife.com is the website. Can you talk about how conflict could actually help us to grow in the virtues? As Catholics, we need to be concerned about living a virtuous life. How can conflict actually help us to be better?
Yeah, for sure, right? So conflict can help us grow in a lot of virtues because it stresses, you know, iron sharpens iron, right? And if I really believe that God often gives us a spouse whose defects are what we most need in order for us to grow in the virtue we most need to grow in. Because, you know, when we get tested and pushed is when we develop virtue. And so, for instance, if you tend to be impatient, God may give you a spouse who tends to be late a lot so that you grow in patience. You know, if you tend to be kind of miserly, God may give you a spouse, you know, that gives $25 to every charity that calls on the phone, you know, during the year. all of a sudden it's tax time and you realize you've given $25 to, you know, 38 different charities. And so our spouse's defects are really a great gift to help us grow in virtue, detachment, patience. I mean, all the virtues pretty much. And so if we really can look at our spouse's defects as gifts from God, then it's easy to love our spouse's defects as much as we love their virtues, because the defects are really the thing that are going to help us grow in the virtues that we're going to need to get into heaven.
Yeah, I think that's so true. My guest is Doug Hinderer. You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show. This is your guest host, Cale Clark. If you have a question for Doug, 888-914-9149 is the number to call. If any of this is resonating with you or it's piqued your interest to ask about something else, 888-914-9149. And I think that's true, Doug, that if God does, and I remember a priest saying this to me a long time ago. He said that if God calls you to the vocation of marriage, he doesn't call you to marriage in the general. He calls you to marriage in the particular, to a particular person. And it just reminds me of one of my favorite verses in the Bible from the book of Tobit, where this guy is thinking about marrying this woman. There's this whole backstory with this demon and everything. You got to read the book. It's amazing. But the archangel Raphael says to Tobias, don't be afraid to take Sarah as your wife, for she was destined for you from all eternity. I just love that, because part of the thing with marriage is you have to help get your spouse to heaven and vice versa. And I think you just kind of touched on that. And it's so true, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And it's there's two ways that happens. In fact, I was talking to a client today about this exact thing. So first, you know, our spouse helps us get to heaven because they go to Mass with us, they pray with us, they encourage us in our devotionals. We pray rosaries together, so they are a part of our spiritual life and they encourage us in that way. Number one. Number two, their defects help us grow in virtue. So the entire package, your entire spouse, their virtues and their defects, all can work together to help us get into heaven. And it's a beautiful way, I think, that our Lord, you know, arranged all this, that even the defects is really the fodder that we can use to help us grow in virtue to get to heaven.
Yeah, and what you said a couple moments ago, that the particular defects or virtues of your spouse are often exactly what you need. I can certainly relate to that. And I'm definitely a major saint maker for my wife. I'll say this. My guest is Doug Hinderer. Doug Hinderer is joining me today on the Drew Mariani Show. This is Cale Clark sitting in for Drew. All right, let's get into some real nitty gritty here. I want to ask you about the greatest need that women have, and also the greatest, I know what you're thinking, but the greatest need that men have, it's not what you're thinking, is it?
Yeah, right. No. What most people think a man's greatest need is actually comes in about third or fourth down the list, right?
Wow.
So in terms of, in terms of needs, a man's greatest need is respect, generally, and a woman's greatest need is to be loved. And that comes right from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, I think, fifth chapter, where he says, husbands, love your wives. Wives, respect your husbands. Well, you know, here we are 2,000 years later. We actually have research out there that says St. Paul was right.
Isn't that amazing?
Well, you know, duh. I mean, St. Paul, of course he was right. Now, that doesn't mean women don't need to be respected and men don't need to be loved, but it does mean that a man is going to get triggered more quickly if he feels he's being disrespected. Huh. And a wife will be triggered more quickly if she feels she's not being loved.
Why do you think men have this great need for respect? Is this inherent in our nature, the way God's made us?
Yeah, I think so. It's just kind of core to who we are, and you know, you'd even talk to business people, you know, managers, like, yeah, I want my people to respect me. I don't care if they like me or not, but they better respect me, you know. I think it comes from kind of the male, you know, I don't know, competitiveness and, you know, our role in society and provider and protector. You know, we want to be recognized for our contributions and the sacrifices we make for our family and stuff. And that feels a lot like respect for men, I think,
Great answer. My guest is Doug Hinderer. He's a marriage and family therapist. You can access his website, happymarriageforlife.com. When we come back, got to take a quick break here. Doug's going to tell us about the four horsemen of the apocalypse when it comes to relationships. You want to avoid these like the plague, okay? You're going to find out about this right after the break. It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Connect with Drew. Relevant Radio.
At 888-914-9149.
This hour is sponsored by Creative Planning. How is your Catholic faith influencing your financial future? More info, including disclosures, at creativeplanning.com/Catholic Focus.
Insight and analysis you won't find anywhere else. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, this is Cale Clark sitting in for Drew on this Friday. I want to mention you only have a couple more days left to sign up for our Nativity Set giveaway. Yep, Advent, believe it or not, is coming up fast. And this year, we are giving away 200 beautiful hand-painted Nativity Sets made possible by a very generous donor. You can put it on your porch. You can put it in your front bay window, in your front yard. You can display the true, humble, and profound real reason for the season. But you have to enter today because you only have until midnight Central Time on October the 16th to sign up. And you can do that at relevantradio.com/set. For the Nativity Set, of course, relevantradio.com/set. My guest right now is Doug Hinderer, marriage and family therapist. We're having a great conversation about conflict in marriage, how to resolve it, some great tips for the weekend coming up. And Doug, you like to talk about the four horsemen of the apocalypse when it comes to conflict. What are they and how can we avoid them?
Yeah, it's a great concept. And this was a discovery by John Gottman, who is the leading researcher in marriage in the United States for the past 40 years. And what he found is there are four behaviors that are highly predictive of marital disharmony. And if they're present at a high level, they're pretty predictive of divorce. Now, the good news is there's only four. So, you know, we don't have to avoid like 72 different things.
Yeah.
Yeah, just four we keep our eye on, right? And the first one is criticism. And, you know, we know what criticism is. It's when I point out what's wrong with you. And thank God I'm here to point out your defects, or else you'd go through life all messed up like that, right? Well, criticism obviously doesn't work because it's kind of a disrespectful thing. You know, when a guy gets criticized, he feels kind of disrespected, and a woman doesn't feel too loved. Mm. And if criticism did work, you know, we'd all be perfectly happily married after about a year because I'd point out everything wrong with you, and you'd fix yourself, and you'd point out everything wrong with me, and I'd fix me, and we'd be perfectly happy. So criticism doesn't work too well. Number two is contempt, and I think one of the good way to look at contempt is mean-spirited criticism. So this is, you know, name-calling, devaluing, this is put-down, sarcasm. It is the most predictive of disharmony and of divorce because it's the most intentional. It usually comes from a place of anger. I'm mad now, and I'm going to hurt you verbally. I'm going to say some pretty hurtful things. So you really have to stay away from contempt. It's really, really detrimental to a marriage.
I can see that.
Number three is stonewalling. It's where I just shut down and I just walk away. I can't take it. I get flooded. You know, I don't want to say anything mean. I don't want to get into a fight with you, so I just walk away. Well, the problem is if the husband walks away, that leaves the wife feeling abandoned and unimportant and unvalued and unloved. And if the wife walks away, it leaves the husband feeling pretty disrespected, you know, like you just turn your back and walk away. And obviously you can't solve the problem if you don't stay engaged in it, okay? Problem is, since we don't know how to resolve conflict, I just want to get out of there because it's so painful to be in a conflictual situation. So walking away, stonewalling, that doesn't work. That doesn't help anything. And then the last one is defensiveness. Hmm. And, you know, it's not my fault, it's your fault, right? So, I drank too much last night because you're nagging me. Quit nagging me and I'll quit drinking. Well, you know, you're the one who chose to, you know, drink that entire bottle of wine or whatever it is. And we can't solve a problem if we don't own, you know, my contribution to it. Now, maybe I'm only 20% responsible for the conflict, maybe 80, I don't know, but I got a piece of it and I've got to own it so we can discuss it. So those are the four horsemen: criticism, contempt, stonewalling, and defensiveness.
Don't let them trample your marriage. My guest is Doug Hinderer, marriage and family therapist. Hey, before we talk about how to resolve conflicts in a healthy way, we've got an interesting phone call. David is on the line from California. Go ahead, David.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Sure.
I am in my early 70s. And I still work. I own my own business. I've been working for 46 years. Now, because I own my own business, I don't have any benefits coming in automatically as if I was working for the government. So retirement's always an issue with my wife. Now, we don't get into any loud arguments or anything like that. It's just an underlying issue. I have Social Security coming in. My wife has Social Security. I have saved for 46 years. I don't have a lot to where I would say I'm rich, but I have some money with the Social Security. Now, my question is this. We've been married for 46 years, and I want to do what's right for myself and my wife. I don't just want to retire. She will respond, you retire whenever you want. But when she knows I'm serious about it, she'll make comments about, well, we won't be able to go to many places. We won't be able to go out to eat as much. So those things really bother me. We don't get into screaming, yelling matches, but I want to do what's right for both of us.
That's a good question, David.
Do you understand the question?
Yeah, Doug, can you understand it?
I can hang up and listen to the answer, but I don't want to. I want to do what's right. Basically, is what I'm saying. I'm healthy. I can still work, but I want to do what's right. I would like to retire. I see everybody my age and younger than me that I've grown up retired. But anyway, that's my issue.
Let me jump in there, Doug. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, sure. So good question. You know, money is the number one thing that couples argue about. But it's not about the money. It's about what the money represents. Okay. And what does the money mean to me? And it sounds like to your wife, money means, you know, the freedom to travel and to dine out and to enjoy life. And behind all this, generally, there's a fear. And so her fear is we may run out of money. We may not have enough money to enjoy life the way we want to. And so I think, you know, talk to your wife at a deeper level about what her fear is with the money and with the retirement. And if it's a fear you'll run out, or if it's fear you can't enjoy the same lifestyle, well, then run the numbers for her. Look at what your income is going to be if you do retire, what your expenses are going to be, and how that money is going to get allocated. And perhaps if she has just a deeper understanding of the money and how it works out, the arithmetic of the whole thing, she'll feel much better about your retirement.
That's a great answer, Doug. Really, really wise there. And can you give us we've got a couple of minutes left here. Can you give us a brief, Precy, sort of how can we resolve conflict in terms of when we want to bring up a conflict, how can we talk about it in a constructive way?
Yeah, no. And this is the key right here, is to be able to talk about conflict in a gentle way. And there's a very specific formula that I teach couples, and I call it gentle startup. But it starts with the phrase, I feel, and you label your emotion, followed by when you, and then you talk about what your spouse did. Okay. And then followed by, and I'd like to ask you to please, what you'd like them to do different. Okay, so for instance, I feel unappreciated, or I feel disrespected when you come home late and don't call and tell me you're going to be late. And I'd like to ask you to please call if you're going to be more than 15 minutes late. All right, because the basic core is, see, I don't want to hurt you, and if I'm doing something that hurts you, if you can tell me that in a way that treats me respectfully and lovingly and gently, I want to hear that so I can stop doing that, right? And so we start off with how I'm feeling, what feeling gets triggered for me when you do whatever it is that you're doing, and how I'd like you to do something different. And that's a good way to talk about these conflicts without the criticism showing up or the contempt, which then triggers the stonewalling or the defensiveness. So that's the deal. Let's talk about this in terms of feelings that are getting triggered, and what you can do to help me not feel unappreciated or unvalued or unloved, and what I'd like to have you do that lets me know that I'm appreciated and loved.
I love that three-step formula. I feel X when you blank, and I'd like to ask you to please do this. I love it. It's easy to remember, and it really does bring about the emotional safety in relationships that we all need as well.
Well, that's the thing, right? The safety, the emotional safety is key to a good long-term marriage. And I encourage couples to write that down and put it on the refrigerator. And anytime they've got a conflict, even if it's just about a backpack, you know, that I moved onto the floor and that bothered you, perfect. Tell me, hey, listen, I'm feeling disrespected because you moved my backpack. I'd like to ask you to not do that. Whatever it is, right? So put it on the refrigerator, put it in the mirror, in the bathroom, in the car, so that anytime you have a conflict, you just go right to that formula, plug it in, and it will it really is very powerful, and it's so simple. And, you know, the best ideas usually are simple.
Yeah, I love that. Hey, and your spouse will know you're using the cheat sheet. You're going to the fridge. I know what you're looking at. Yeah. But it's important to get the words right because it really does work. For more great tips like this from Doug Hinderer, if you want to get in touch with him, go to happymarriageforlife.com. Doug, thank you so much once again for that wonderful presentation you gave us at Relevant Radio and for coming on the show today to share it with a much
wider audience. Thanks so much for having me, Kale. No, I enjoyed it. Thank you so much for all of your kind words as well. Thank you.
God bless you, Doug. Thank you so much. Doug Hinderer, if you need him, happymarriageforlife.com. Thank you so much for joining me today as I guest hosted for Drew, who'll be back next week. This is Cale Clark. And coming up next on Relevant Radio, I guess it's me, the Cale Clark Show. Hey, speaking of marriage, this is a powerful one. A guy who's now divorced, he wrote about 20 things he wish he'd known before about marriage, about relationships. You're not going to want to miss this either. So keep it glued to relevantradio.com. You can get in touch with Drew at Drew Mariani Show or at Drew Mariani on Twitter, or find me at Cale Clark. See you next time. God bless you.